I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, what's up, y'all? This is Courtney Kat back again. Of course, I have another episode of the podcast starting right now. I've been on a kind of hiatus, not really, but I just had my birthday and a lot of going on. So
happy belated.
Thank
happy
you.
Belated.
I'm a grandma now.
Oh, please.
So we're back again. Please remember just to follow me on Twitter at CatVision, which is CatVision. On Instagram at CatDollaz, which is CatDollaz. Follow my producer at Barb Chair Scott on Twitter and Instagram, and follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter at Barber's Chair Network and patreon.com/barber'schairnet.
Yep. So what is going on? What is going on in your world in these, what, 3 weeks since we last recorded?
I mean, like I said, my birthday, so I was out of town for the weekend. I just went to Tampa. It was really nice. Went on a boat ride to beach, you know, just
chilling,
enjoying the weekend, not having any responsibilities, living like I'm 21 again. but no, it was fun. It's usually when my birthday rolls around, it just kind of signifies to me that, like, all right, we're more than halfway through the year, really, and we're going into the last quarter of the year. So that's always a constant reminder. So honestly, I've just been really excited about the NFL season, as always. And I don't know, this year I'm actually like excited, kind of, which is strange.
Why is that strange?
I mean, not really. It's more so excited about just a lot of like the rookies, mostly like the rookie quarterbacks. Like, it's just fun having like new, fresh quarterbacks in the league.
And it must be fun to have your new fresh quarterback actually play week one. That must be nice. Yeah, I'm not gonna know how that feels.
I don't know how that feels either. As you can remember, we've had the same old guy on our team for quite some time. So
yeah,
I'll be happy when it's my team. You know, I wish it was me, but it's not. But it's cool. But I am really excited because honestly, I don't know, you get sick of watching the same old tired quarterbacks. Like, yeah. I want to see some new competition, whether they are good or not is still left to be seen. But either way, it'll be new and something fresh for like a lot of fans like me. I'm just happy, honestly. I really like a lot of them. My favorite is, of course, Justin Fields. And this is not an Ohio State bias. Okay, maybe it is. But yeah, I feel like fine. I would still
you
like
be
him
biased.
The best.
You can
I feel
be
like
biased.
I would still like him the best.
With my son, go ahead.
That, but yeah. I mean, I really love him. So I'm excited to watch him. I don't really, no offense, I don't really know how excited I am for him to be playing for that particular organization, but you know,
we'll get used to it.
Any start is a good start. I mean, yeah, no, I'm sure you guys won't be doing away with him anytime soon. I'm more so just concerned about his future there and where they plan on leading the team. Not that like I have any ill will towards the Bears. Honestly, they're like a non-factor in my football world, but honestly,
I don't have any ill will. Ill will towards Matthew Nagy, who
I know
we're not getting any interview with him on our podcast.
I know I accidentally
said some foul things about him this past week.
Yeah. just this year.
I mean, just this week. I turned it up a little bit this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know. It's been a pretty ongoing beef. I don't know if he's aware of it, but like,
no, he's definitely not aware of it. My brother asked some questions. Attention. He doesn't know that I hate him.
Definitely some tension building there. I was going through like the quote tweets. It was I think it was a Shefty tweet who said that that the 49ers, you know, they were talking about the quarterback competition between Garoppolo and Trey Lance, and I seen all the Bears fans were pissed. Like, there weren't even any 49ers fans in the quotes being like, oh cool. It was mostly Bears fans being like, must be nice. Must be nice to have a coach that actually has a quarterback competition. I was just like, all right, guys, we can see that you guys clearly are upset about that. Hopefully, I mean, I don't know if it's, I don't know. I honestly don't know what his game plan. And I was going to try to like speculate and give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't really know what's going on there. So,
it's just kind of like, you know, at least with Niner fans, and you know, I'm not a Jimmy G fan, but at least Jimmy G is a serviceable quarterback. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can at least, with that system they have in San Francisco.
No, I mean, he played still, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're still a Super Bowl contender. Like, we got to fucking watch Andy Dalton, like, against Aaron Donald, which if he even gets out of that game alive, it's a whole different other discussion. But that's where the frustration comes as Bears fans. It's kind of like, you seen Uncut Gems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that scene with KG? He's like, why the fuck would you show me some of you if I can't have it? That's how Bears fans feel right now with Justin Fields.
I don't know. I don't know if it's like, I don't know what it is with coaches that are like that. I feel like you go out of your way to draft a quarterback in the first round, and then like you posture it once they're on the team as if like it's, oh, well, we may or may not play you. We just want you to like play behind this old washed person, which is the reason why we got you in the first place. I don't know. It's just it just seems weird to me. Like, it's like if I go out to the grocery store to buy like new grocery, and then I come home and I say, well, you're just going to wait until I finish eating all of this old molded food that I need to get rid of. And then I'll work on the new, like, I don't know. It just seems like counterproductive to me. I feel like if you go and get a quarterback in the first round, especially like in an early pick, like you are saying to like, not only your fans, but to like everybody watching that you are ready to move forward. So then to get into, you know, like the preseason and camp and stuff, and it'd be like, well, we don't know. We're still planning on starting the old. It's just like, why are you doing this? Like, is this a something that you're doing to like test? Cause we shouldn't be in a testing phase now. Like,
right.
I don't know. I don't understand it either personally. I always think it's weird. Like, it's no point in getting a new guy just to play behind the old guy, which is the reason that you're getting a new guy. Cause you're, I mean, and it doesn't even have to mean like the old veteran is just terrible, but it means that you were obviously not, this isn't the quarterback of the future.
Right.
Now you just drafted your like supposed future player. Like, and who wants to come in week four after you've already like tarnished everything?
Fucked up the first 3 weeks.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I understand like not wanting to throw a rookie out there, but at the same time, like you're going to have to at some point. And usually the way it happens is they end up like being thrown in mid-season, which I don't think is fair. Like, you should have the opportunity to like
start fresh
with the starters
at
the beginning of the season if you're healthy and able. Why can't Andy Dalton play backup? He's done it. Like,
and I think the thing is, even if you're coming behind older guys, at least let them older guys be good. Like, everybody keeps bringing up, when Bears bring up Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Alex Smith was good. Okay, Alex Smith led them to like three straight division.
He was still
titles.
A good quarterback. Yeah. I mean, like, he was no Patrick Mahomes.
Of course, yeah, but he was a good guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Andy Dalton had more weapons last year in Dallas than we have here, and they couldn't move the ball for shit.
So, and not to mention, like, he played in my division for like years. So I got to see a lot of like his quarterback play. Not that he's like terrible, but he's not someone like that you want on your team in his late 30s.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You know, like not as your starter anyway. Like I said, why can't he play backup? All the other old guys are doing it other than like Ben, unfortunately. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, but like besides them, all of the other old guys that are still for whatever reason in the league are perfectly okay with being the backup. Cause at this point in your career, you know, unless you're Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, like you really shouldn't be leading the team anywhere, and you're probably not going to. So I don't understand. Obviously I'm not a professional here, so no one cares about my expert opinion.
That's what I say about myself every day. Like, fuck what I'm saying. You know, I'm just a guy who sits up here and watches the game. I don't know.
Right. That's what I always say. Like, you know what? Clearly I'm not an expert here. I'm not a coach, but in my semi-expert opinion of just being a professional fan, I just,
it's a waste of time.
Right. It's a waste of time. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. I mean, that's honestly, that could be any team. It's not just because it's Andy Dalton. I'm not picking on him. It could be anybody that's still trying to service an old ass player when you got a new young person that's actually capable. I would be saying the same thing. But
and it's also, before you get to your next point, it's also kind of like, it also depends on the young quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Justin Fields was, him and Trevor Lawrence have been like 1A, 1B since high school. So this is a kid who's not fazed by much. You know what I'm saying? And knowing Bears fans, like I know Bears fans, game two against Cincinnati in that home opener, the first bad throw, this nigga throw, oh my God. The boos that you're going to hear come from that state is going to be relentless. And so I kind of feel bad for Andy because Andy's been doing a good job. He's been taking Justin under his wing. Him and his wife have taken him to dinner. Like, there's been a good
companionship. Oh, nice. I didn't even know that.
It hasn't been no hater shit or anything like that. He's really been taking Andy under his wing. Like, to the fact, to the point that Justin actually went to press conference this week was defending it. Like, oh, you guys shouldn't boo him, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. But we've been waiting fucking forever. We going to boo this nigga. It has nothing to do with Andy Dalton. Everything to do with the quarterbacks I've watched my whole entire fucking life. So,
I mean, yeah, and that's what I was saying. Like, it's nothing personal against Andy Dalton. Like, hell, if that was anybody else and they were in the same position with the same skill level and age, I would be saying the same thing. Like, it's not like I'm saying, oh, he sucks. You know, he shouldn't even be in the league. I mean, I'm just saying he maybe shouldn't be the starter there. But time will tell. I do, like, eventually, I don't know. We'll have to see, honestly. Just because they're just acting like, oh, we'll see type of thing, I guess that's the only thing I can say. I don't know, because I want to say, like, oh, maybe they're just trolling and he'll start anyway. But it kind of seems like it's not that. And it seems like, I don't know.
So have you been watching any preseason this year? Like,
yeah.
Are you one of those fans who actually likes watching preseason?
You know, in recent years, I've cared more about preseason than before. I guess, like, before, it was just like I had other things going on. I was younger. Right. Preseason games come on weird days and at weird times. So I really didn't have time to watch it, to be honest. Like, I'll go back and look at clips. But yeah, but no, I'm now that I'm an old grandma and I have, like, way more time on my hands. Yeah, I've watched all of the Steelers preseason games. Well, all three of them. Not that it's just been so many, but I've watched all three of the first ones. And then I watched the Bears, was that the Dolphins game? Yeah,
that was the first
I watched that one because I wanted to see Justin Fields. And then I watched, the other night I was watching somebody. Who was I watching? Oh, I hate watching the Browns and Giants. You have teams that you like to pick on. I always hate watching them. I don't really hate watch the Ravens. I don't really care about the Ravens. Honestly, like, it's a rivalry. I don't care enough to, like, hate watch them, but
that's
like
the Browns, rival though.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it's a respected rivalry. We know we don't like them. When we play them, we're going to talk shit. Otherwise, I'm going to be happy when they lose in the playoffs again, inevitably. Like, those are things that I'm going to be excited about because it's a rivalry, but, like, I'm not necessarily, like, there's no active hate. It's just like, fuck them and everything that they stand for. But with the Browns, like, my new hate for them has more to do with the media hype than anything. Like, Browns fans are harmless because there's only 8 real fans. And the rest of them just hopped on the bandwagon.
8 real fans outside of Ohio.
Yeah, the rest of them just hopped on the bandwagon because now they don't have to be ashamed and they can, like, be fans out loud. It's not really the fans, although they kind of are obnoxious on Twitter. But again, they're so new to this. I give them that. It's more so like the media hype that pisses me off. Like, yes, the Browns are, like, a better team than they have been in a long time, and they're a good team, but, like, I don't know, it's something about me seeing for the past 2 years of the Super Bowl contender Browns, and it's just like, that hasn't happened yet, and they haven't even made it to the conference champion game yet, so it's just like, let's just hold back our predictions here, like,
breaks here.
I don't know, I just, it's so funny to me. I saw, like, a crazy wild take the other day where somebody was like, if Baker Mayfield and the Browns win the Super Bowl, will he be bigger in Ohio than LeBron? And I'm just like, neither one of those things are happening. Baker Mayfield's not winning a Super Bowl, and he's not ever going to be a bigger athlete in Ohio than LeBron is. Like, pack it up.
I will say,
awful takes.
I will say this. Yes, he won't be bigger than LeBron, but that Brown, I know I have family in Ohio. My uncle's from Ohio.
My dad's from Ohio. He don't like it.
Oh, wow, that's shocking. They love them goddamn Browns. Like,
yeah. Oh, no, Baker will be a legend for sure. I just thought that, like,
definitely not bigger than LeBron, though.
Yeah, I just thought that was just like, all right, we're taking it too far now. I let you guys say all these other things and post the videos of him hitting the Dougie. Let's not do that, though. You know, I don't know. I still don't believe in Baker Mayfield personally as a quarterback. If they win, it will have very little to do with, like, his eliteness, quote unquote, and more just about the team in general, which I'm still going to be a hater of. And I'm still, you know, going to be praying for their downfall always and forever.
That's how I feel about the Green Bay Packers. Like, you know, that's just it's elite hate. Like, I don't really have a problem with Aaron Rodgers. I have a problem with the jersey that he wears. Like, whenever he leaves, which will probably be this year, we're cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't like the jersey that he wears. You know what I'm saying? So I do hate watching the Packers. I hate watching them niggas a lot. Like, and also because my team is so long. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The Steelers have had, y'all got a good history. You know what I'm saying? We're like the Knicks. And Bears fans hate when I say this, but we're the football Knicks. We're the popular team with a charter franchise. You know, they have MSG. Everybody acts like, oh, Soldier Field's legendary. We're the same motherfuckers. We got arrogant-ass fans. The same shit. We get happy about stupid shit. And so that's exactly where we are. Y'all have more Laker history. Like, I think y'all have the most Super Bowls, right?
Well, we are tied now. Yeah, we're tied with the Patriots.
So y'all got that. We've got one Super Bowl since Black people could vote. Like, come on.
I mean, hey, I don't know. It's,
You don't know my pain. You don't want to know my pain.
I feel you. Pride is a hell of a thing when it comes to sports, though. Like,
yes, it definitely
you see
is.
See how people are. I mean, look at New Orleans fans. They're aggravating as shit. And
they're going to have a come to Jesus moment this year.
Oh, thank God. I mean, to be quite fair, like, in the regular season, they've looked however, but in the playoffs, they've been looking stupid for a few years. But like, you can't tell Saints fans
that motherfucker this time.
Oh no, they for sure. I don't think that they will. If they do, like, that'll be like by some miracle. I just don't think that they'll have a strong enough schedule to even make the wild card game. Like, obviously, if they do, I don't need anybody coming at me. I told you, you're going to lose next week anyway. You know, like, if they slide in, it's not going to be anything there. Like, there's no story there. They're going to suck. But hey, it is what it is. But like, pride is a thing with teams. I don't know, like, Eagles fans the same way. Like, you only win one, but it means a lot. My poor Atlanta family and friends, like, I really, you know, I want the best for the Falcons, always will. It sucked that happened, but whatever. I really mostly hate that people from New Orleans can make a joke of it. Yeah, because it's just like, all right, guys, like, hang it up. You got it. But whatever.
Super Bowl 13 years ago.
Right. Like, you know what? I let him have it. I realized that, like, that they don't really have much sports.
That should be like a limit of when you're able to talk shit. Like, if you won a championship during Obama's first term, you gotta count.
I'm not obnoxious online. We haven't won anything.
No, you're not. During football season, you're definitely not. Like,
I say mean things to people who come at me first. They always do. I think it's like, I tell people all the time, they always laugh it off. It's because I'm a girl and I'm really vocal about my team being my team, and I talk shit about other teams, but I never direct it to anyone in particular. Like, it's to the point where, like, when my team loses a game, I got people adding me being like, huh, did you see that? And it's just like, you went out of your way. Like, there are millions of Steelers fans in the world, and
you decided to come fuck with me.
Like, get a life. Or people, like, when the game is on, like the playoff game against the Browns, they're like, are you watching this? What do you fucking think? Like, why are you at me? Like, are you going to delete your account? Did I delete it the last time we lost the playoff game? Like, come on. You're not going to
harass me.
You're not going to ruffle my feathers. People do it all the time. And I'm just like, I don't really care. The difference is, like, y'all talk shit about my team because y'all just want to knock me down a few notches. I talk shit about y'all teams because they actually do be sorry as hell. And y'all be like loud about it. Like, when my
y'all niggas sorry, actually trash.
I say my team is sorry, and it is what it is. When y'all's teams are sorry, y'all not only fail to admit that, but then you go around bullying everybody else's teams. And it's like, wait a minute, your team sucks. Like, Cowboys fans, Giants fans, like, that whole NFC East, really, like, all of them. It's just like, y'all, none of y'all's teams have done anything in forever. Only people I give a little bit of grace to is Washington fans, because they honestly don't bother nobody. They just get talked about a lot. They don't bother nobody.
They're like, and what's funny is they got a decent team this year. Well, as decent as you can get in that division.
Decent.
But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all know Ryan Fitzpatrick is fired for like a month and a half.
Everybody loves him though. That's why they keep him. That's why he keeps getting jobs. Like, everybody likes him. And I think that that's like something to be said about that. Like, hey, he might not be the best, and he definitely not gonna last the whole season on whatever streak he goes on. But like, people like playing with him, so he must be a great guy.
He got good leadership.
Yeah, I mean, so that's good. I mean, he's old enough too. He should career backup. But anyway, so that's just how I feel about the season. I'm really excited. I'm happy to play fantasy football, although like I've only been invited to one league. Okay, so the other league, I was in another league and I was in it for years. I had won, you know, doing good. But like one of the guys in the league, I don't know, he had a crush on me or something. And I haven't like responded or, you know, just,
he was getting some creepy shit.
Yeah, you know, and so I just feel like now he's not going to invite me, which is fine. I don't care, honestly. There are other people to play fantasy football with, but right. I'm just a little disappointed.
So many damn leagues.
Disappointed because, like, I really was like, I was good in that league. I had won the league, and, you know, it was just nice to, it was me, a bunch of niggas, and just beating their expectations usually. So, except one year I fell asleep before it was. The draft started and my team was auto drafted, which was kind of annoying. But even then I ended up like making it to the playoffs. Like I just had to switch some stuff around, move some players, trade, drop people, but it wasn't too bad.
Can I tell you about the infamous, well, a lot of people who've been following me on Twitter since like 2010 know about the infamous, they call it the Lewis brothers screw job. It's me and my brother. We've had this fantasy league from like 2007.
Y'all cheated. Yeah.
I'm explaining.
Y'all conspired.
So it ended like, I've been done with fantasy football for about two seasons now because it was ruining my life. So I'd say we ended the league like around 2019. So like a 12-year league. And we've had like maybe most of our team were on Twitter. And so in 2010, my brother team was really bad when it was time for the trade deadline. So he traded me all his best players. And I went on to win a championship.
Oh, yeah, y'all definitely. Okay, I knew it was. I was like, I know that this is, he's explaining, he's giving too much background for not end up him being the villain. I knew it. Okay, so y'all conspired.
We conspired and I won. They called the Lewis Brothers screw job. And it was like,
yeah, I wouldn't be in a league with the both of y'all because I would be worried that something like that would happen.
I was 21. Yeah, give me a pass. I was 21.
Oh, I got to give you a pass.
I was young and power hungry.
You were young and dumb. Okay. Yeah. We'll give you the 21-year-old pass.
Have you had any of your, during your fantasy football time where it's like, you've been like, you kind of feel like, oh, this is getting too much? Because me, I was up here rooting for Aaron Rodgers, and that's when I was like, I gotta draw the line somewhere. Like, this is too much.
You know what? I always like have fun with it, honestly. Even like those times when like I go on like a 2-game losing streak and I'm like, oh my God, it's so stressful. And it's just 2 games, like, but I'm just stressed out about it. I still have fun. Just the only thing, you know what? I won't lie. The only thing that pisses me off is when you have like inconsistent players on your team, like, or a person who's like injured every other game. It kind of just like throws everything, especially when it's like mid-season when that starts to happen, because it's like, okay, I constructed this team. It's foolproof. If you look at it, like nothing should go wrong. And then Kenny Golladay is injured every 5 minutes. Like just things like that. And it's like, so then you don't even want to play him. So you got him on the bench, but then you put him on the bench and they get 30 points. And then you're like, okay, this person is, you know, on a bye week next week. Maybe I'll sub you in.
And you got to pay attention to all that shit.
It's so annoying. Like that's the most stressful part. Honestly, like losing or winning, that doesn't bother me at all, but it's just the stressful part about the players. Like, that's why I tell people, like, you have to draft the right team. Like you have to, and when I say draft the right team, like when I see people choosing like Patrick Mahomes as a number one pick, I already know I'm playing with idiots.
You should never draft a
quarterback.
Yeah,
I already know
first.
I'm playing with idiots. And then I'm like, okay,
easy
dumbass.
Money.
Like, first of all, I don't choose a quarterback until like at least like my fifth or sixth pick.
Exactly.
And if even that early, and that's if other niggas start taking quarterbacks, then I'm like, all right, let me grab one real quick. First thing I'm gonna choose is running back always. And then I'll probably choose a wide receiver, and then I'll go right back to running back again, and then tight end, and then I'm probably choose another wide receiver, and then another running back, and then maybe I'll start thinking about quarterbacks. You're talking about people taking Tom Brady as a first pick. You are an idiot. Now you're mad that your running back is somebody that you've never even heard of until today.
Some sorry nigga. Like, he gave me 5 points.
Right. Or some rookie that you don't even know, like, what they're going to be like with that team and that scheme and that offensive line. And, like, you're mad, but you got 40 points from Patrick Mahomes every week. But what people don't realize is you need the whole team to get consistent points more than you need one or two people to get a lot of points. You can do good if everybody on your team just gets a minimum of like 15 points, but you're so worried about trying to get someone that's going to get you 40 points every week and everybody else on your team is getting you 3. I don't know. People are just idiots.
I think it's that people don't plan. And then also people who have their draft before, like, you shouldn't draft after preseason's over. You shouldn't draft to at least the week before the season, because injuries, you don't know who's gonna get cut, a whole bunch of people who do that. People who, if you draft a defense before the very last pick, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't care. Honestly, like, I don't care who I get on defense.
Sign that in a free agency, man.
Because at most your fantasy league has maybe 12 teams, 10 teams. There are 32 teams in the NFL. It's not like you're going to get the worst defense in the league. Like, so why are you trying to hurry up and grab the same thing with quarterback? That's why I feel like it's dumb to grab one so early, because it's like, at worst, you might get the 10th best quarterback in the league. That's not really that bad. Like, the 10th best quarterback in the league is a really good quarterback. Like, so it's just, or, well, now maybe there's a lot more like talent now in the league. So yeah, like, the 10th best quarterback in the league is probably still someone that's decent. So it's like, why are you running to get those players? Get a running back, get plenty of those, because they're going to get hurt. Someone is going to get hurt.
For sure.
Like, and wide receivers are just so finicky. Like, one game, they get all
100
the
yards.
Yeah, you know, they get all the looks. And then the next game, they had 2 catches for 30 yards, and you like, great. Like,
and,
you know,
and I think even with running backs and wide receivers, just in general with the game, it's like they're not as valued as high anymore, because they're just so replaceable. It's like, you get you a couple good to decent receivers, get you a couple good decent running backs, you finna have mad points.
Yeah.
And you go out there and get you a Ryan Tannehill or some shit like that. You know he gonna get you points because he throwing a Julian on niggas. So that's, you ain't gotta get Mahomes, man. You get Mahomes, I'm like,
that's not, I mean,
money league.
I'm never pressed about a quarterback on my team, honestly. I just feel like it's not worth like the wasted pick when I could have chose like a better, like, you, I could have chose a good tight end. That's what I'm gonna need. Like, before I get stuck with Eric fucking Ebron again or some shit. Like,
that was a nightmare.
But I mean, that's what I had, George Kittle, but he got injured. And then like, I just had to like take what I could get. It was really annoying, but you know, it is what it is. That's exactly why you need to stack up on those other positions instead of like throwing everything at the quarterback. What difference does it make? And then when the quarterback gets injured, you're going to end up with one of those people that you didn't want in the first place. You're going to have Ryan fucking Fitzpatrick. It is what it is. Every year for some reason, and it's never on purpose, I always end up like, my second quarterback that I choose always ends up being Matthew Stafford, like towards the end of the draft, and I have no idea. It's never on purpose. It's not like I go into it and I'm like,
To get Matthew Stafford.
It's just like, I'll get a quarterback at some point, and then like, you know, you get towards the end of the draft and I'm like, I need another quarterback, and he's always available, and I like, I've had him now at this point for so many years that like, I know what to expect from him.
He's
so
part of the team now.
I just like, I put him on all of my teams. I probably put him on it this year. Like, all right, come on.
And you know, have more weapons this year. You have more weapons out in LA.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely, I wish him the best, honestly. With
these $700 tickets.
I'm glad that he's out of Detroit, honestly. I hope nothing but the best for him. I really like Matthew Stafford.
I think Matthew Stafford, the interesting thing about Matthew Stafford, he's the most overrated quarterback in the league and the most underrated quarterback in the league at the same damn time. Like, people think he elite, you in for Ruben Reagan. And people think he bad, you lying to yourself. He's right there.
You know what? He is so annoying. He reminds me sometimes of like how I feel when I watch Ben. Like, he'll do something really good and he'd be like, oh my God, did you see that throw? And then like the next drive, it'll be like a interception on like a 6-yard slant. It's just like, what are you doing? Like, I don't, it's just like, are your eyes attached to the rest of your body? Or what did you see?
Are you paying attention?
That's why, like, oh my God, I feel bad for people who get bent on their fantasy team. Like, he's just like, so you never know. You really never know. Like, he'll have one game where you're like, damn, he's still kind of decent.
Ben was kind of like me with you and Matthew Stafford. He's my quarterback for like 4 years. Like, and they're never on purpose. Like, when it was time to draft quarterbacks, yeah, I always try to get Brady. And the nigga's just there. I'm like, I guess I'll take this nigga.
Right, because it's like, you know, at the very least, he's not complete.
He ain't going to be bad. Right, exactly. Yeah,
he just might not. He might not play as good as you want him to, but he's definitely not going to play like the worst. So,
right, exactly.
That's how I feel about Matthew Stafford. It's like, he might not be all that good, but I know he's not going to be absolute trash. Like, exactly. And he's still going to get me a lot of yards, because at the time he's playing for the Lions, they was always playing from behind. So that was always my strategy. Like, if they were playing like the Packers, I was starting him. Even if he was like my backup, I'm like, oh, I'm starting him, because they're going to be down 20 points at the half anyway. So he's going to be chucking that bitch. Right. And I'm like, I know I'm going to get a lot of points. Like, that's how you got to strategically play. Because like, people are like, oh, I'm going to get Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, yeah, but he plays on a good team. So like, what if they already up 30 points in the fourth quarter? Now you're not throwing the ball no more. Like, you know, and now you stuck with just them 15 points. Like, it is what it is. That's why I'm like, I'm always thinking strategically. Like, okay, this team has a really good line, so they're going to run the ball a lot. Let me get this running back. This team has a really elite running wide receiver, so let me get him, because he's going to get a lot of catches. Oh, this team is going to suck, and they're going to be playing from behind most games, so let me get this quarterback, because he's going to have to throw that shit. Like, I don't know.
And that's how you got to do it. Like, and I was taking it to the stream. Like, I was being the back of church. Like, all right, so who am I going? And that's when the multiple sign. Like, all right, you got to stop. You're doing too much. I'm in the back of
Pastor
church.
Pastor out there talking about the Lord and Savior.
Talking about the Lord. And I'm like, about... shit, I'm LaDainian Tomlinson. Like, you know, doing
everybody
all that
praying
shit.
You over here. Like, they think you praying too. Please, you Lord. Thinking. They please, think I you can't. Praying for like your health and right. your family's health. You over here praying.
I can't go 2-5.
Please, Lord, just don't let me sink to number 5. Please.
I can't.
I don't know. So it's really fun. And I'm really excited for just football Sunday in general, my football Sunday drinks. I always like, especially on really long weeks, I always like, if the week has been really long, I won't even drink during football season on like Friday or Saturday, just so I can save it for Sunday.
Perfect.
and my football Sunday drinks is usually wine, or if I go to a bar, and the only time I go to a bar is like when my team's not playing. So if my team plays at 1, I'm not going into the 4 o'clock games.
Oh, so
if I go to a bar, then I'll have like, you know, some probably like whiskey or tequila. That's my favorite. But yeah, like those are my favorite drinks. What do you like to drink on football Sunday?
On football Sunday, now it's a little different out here, because when football comes on, it's 10 o'clock in the morning now. So, you know, it's.
Oh, I forgot.
I usually don't drink until like, you know, the afternoon slate, except but when I do, it's usually beer. To me, beer is the perfect football drink, or of that, or you know, some hard liquor. You know, at the time in my life when I was drinking a lot of cognac, you know, it would be Hennessy or Douce. If I drink that now,
that's when you get violent. By the time the damn Sunday night football game come on, you be
aggressive.
On one.
Get aggressive.
You be like them uncles at the cookouts that just be sitting there talking shit the whole night, sweating. Yeah. You're like, what's wrong with him? You're like, oh, he finished a bottle of Hennessy earlier. Like, he good.
Hennessy is definitely an aggressive drink. You know what I'm saying? And like, it used to be this sports bar out here in West Hollywood called The Parlor, RIP The Parlor. Did not survive the pandemic.
Aww.
Had a lot of great afternoons there. But one time, it's like a brunch area too. Like, it's like, even if you don't like football, a lot of people come. So I went with my homegirls one time to this brunch, and it was during the Bears bye week. And the Packers had to be playing. The Packers were playing for their life. And I think they lost and they got eliminated. Well, that Henny had me talking crazy.
I'm sure. See, that's why I'm telling people the dark liquor and football, they are a dangerous pair. Because, like, depending on, like, how invested you are in whatever game you're watching, it can get very loud and very aggressive. Like, don't let the wrong person say something to you. Oh, someone walked... And like during like the Tom Brady and New England days, like that was like where most of my animosity was, like as a Pittsburgh fan. I mean, because everybody else in our division at the time weren't anyone to care about. Like,
right.
I was mad at Ravens fans. They hadn't won anything in a long time.
Yeah, so I had Kyle Bowler.
Yeah, it was just like, all right, whatever. It's a Ravens fan. If they start with me, I'm going to say mean things, but like, whatever. But like, it was most of my hate was towards Tom Brady and the Patriots. So like, it would be so many Patriots fans. You know how that goes. Now they're all Tom Brady fans and Bucks fans. I don't know, but whatever. It would be so many like Patriots fans just bothering me. And I'm just like, don't y'all have division rivals of your own? Why do y'all pick on Pittsburgh? Like, no, Patriots fans hate the Steelers. And I'm just like, why do you direct all of your hate towards us? If you play us at all, it's one time during the season.
Right.
Don't you have your own division rivals? But like their division rivals suck. They've
been fucking them up for 20 years.
Right. So
I was a Patriots fan, I wouldn't hate nobody. I'm like, we're at the top of the mountain. Fuck, I'm hating y'all for.
I mean, no, now they can actually have a rivalry.
Oh, yeah, now, yeah.
That should be fun for like the fans Buffalo that decided now. To like yeah. the 10 fans that decided to stick around. That should be fun for them. And then like nobody that I know that's a Patriots fan is even from like,
They've never been to Boston regionally.
And it's not that you have to be from the city, but I just think that you wouldn't just pick a team from Boston if you have no ties to them, except they win a lot. And they don't want to admit that. I would rather you admit that, hey, it's nothing wrong with liking teams that win a lot, especially when you're growing up and you want to have fun watching football.
Or you can keep it too. Like, I think people forget about, you know, you can have a favorite team and a favorite player. Like,
yeah,
you know,
you can.
I'm a diehard Bulls fan. Kobe was my favorite player. But when the Bulls will play the Lakers, I want Kobe to have like 50 and they lose. That's what I want. So that's why I'm a huge Bears fan, but Tom Brady, my favorite player. A lot of people.
Well, the problem is most of them have already postured themselves as being diehard Penguin fans. Yeah. So now they realize that like they have to rebrand and pretend like they were only Tom Brady fans. And that's why, which from the jump, they were just fans of the wins,
yep.
which is what they should have just said. So now they're going wherever the winds are going. Now they're all Tom Brady fans in Tampa. It's just, and I don't
you've
know.
Never made a, you've never met a Buccaneers fan ever in your life.
No, like I remember like now, of course I'm down in Florida. So like the likelihood that I meet one now, especially that they've won a Super Bowl, I'm sure is higher. But like, this was like a couple years ago, I was actually taking an Uber from the airport and my Uber driver was a Bucs fan and they were playing at the time. I think it was like a Thursday night. And he was just pissed. This is like Jameis, their quarterback. Oh, and he was listening to it on the radio. You could both hear it. I don't know. But like, that was the only Bucs fan I'd actually met in my life. Like at that, like literally that day, I was like, oh, this is the first time I met a Bucs fan.
I'm pretty sure that did. The only connection I have with the Bucs is my cousin went to college with Simeon Rice, and he brings it up like 100 fucking times. I'm like, bro, Simeon Rice retired a long ass time ago. You got to retire that shit, bro. That shit was cool when I was like in sixth grade, but I don't care no more.
All right. No. Right, exactly. We're 30 now, bro. I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what that's like.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I don't know if I'm excited for just fall in general, just because it typically gets cooler in the fall, but I'm in Florida now, so I don't
it's gonna
really
be baking again.
I'm good. I'm happy. I don't know. People are like, oh, y'all don't even get a fall or a winter. And I'm like, hey,
I got a comment on that. Black people got to stop doing this shit. Especially people I know in Chicago. Oh, it's too hot. I can't wait for it. It's cold outside. The second week is cold. You know, oh, I need a trip to LA. I need a trip to Miami. Stop acting like you niggas like cold weather.
I was going to say, and I think that like, I think this is important that we mention this also. I think this is pretty universal. Like no matter where people are from, people pretend to like cold weather a lot more than they actually do. I understand that maybe you don't like blazing heat. That's understandable.
That's fine. Yeah.
Say you like the fall. I get that. But to just straight up wish that it was cold outside, I think that like there's a lot of lies being told there. Like not even people that live in the cold like the cold. They might be used to it.
You don't even get used to it. You accept it.
Yeah. They might be. Yeah. I won't even say used to it. They just might not complain about it because it's inevitable at this point. But no one is just like, I can't wait to freeze.
At all. It just don't make no sense, especially if you're from like a super, super cold city. Like I'm looking forward to going home, you know, in the winter for the holidays and shit, because I couldn't do it last year. But I ain't looking forward for that damn Hulk to be coming off the fucking Lake Michigan and shit when I'm outside. Like, I don't really got time for that shit.
You know what? I realized like in Atlanta, like a lot of people always like, oh, it's too hot. I can't wait for winter. And like winter in Atlanta didn't really used to be that cold. Like, global warming is obviously getting worse, changed, but like it would get cold, you know, for a few weeks where it would be like kind of extremely cold to us, which was like below 40. But like it didn't really used to get as cold as it gets now. Like now it actually does get pretty cold for a couple months. And I'm starting to realize that like people are still saying that as if it's like 2004 and it's not. And it's like, yeah, that was kind of cool to say, like, I can't wait for winter in 2004 when winter was like 50 degree weather. But now winter is like 25 to 40 degree weather, like almost consistently for 3 months. I doubt very seriously you can't wait for that. And then when people say it, it's like, why? Y'all don't spend time outside. You are like, you're a snowman. You don't even be outside. So
you niggas can't dress. Like, and they, wait for the fit. You niggas can't even dress. Let's keep it real. Y'all can't even dress.
It's just so funny to me when people are like, oh, I can't wait for the winter, as if they like stand outside and like enjoy the cold. All you do is put on more clothes and then go inside. Like, you go to indoor events. Yeah. It's not like everybody in Atlanta is just like hanging out outside in the cold, most likely going to an indoor event. So like, why are you pretending that you can't wait to stand outside in the cold and freeze? That's not what you're gonna do. You're gonna turn the heat on, you're gonna put on layers, and you're gonna go inside somewhere and drink hot cocoa and shit. Like, I don't know why everyone pretends that they like the cold. They don't like it. I'm sorry, no one likes the cold. People, you can have pride in your city as much as you want to. You do not like the cold. I don't care what borough you're from in New York. You do not like the cold. Let's all stop lying about it.
The only thing I'll say I miss about cold weather, it's really not cold weather. I just miss wearing Tim's. Like, I used to really watch wearing Tim's.
I mean,
like,
you can still wear them. You just going to look crazy. You're just going to look crazy as hell.
Like, my homie just moved. Well, he moved at the beginning of the year out here, and he's from New York. And he tweeted like 2 or 3 weeks ago, oh, we like 2 months away from hoodie and Tim season, B. I was like, first of all, hoodie season in LA don't begin to Christmas, number one. Number two, you live in Long Beach, my nigga. Your feet finna be on fire if you wearing some damn Timberland boots.
Yeah, no, I that's the one thing that I'm a little sad about is like, I can't wear, well, I can when I go out of town, but like all of my fur coats and my boots. And I'm just like, when am I going to wear these things? Like, it's going to be hot. But I mean, I'm a girl, so I can still kind of get away with like the boots depending on the outfit.
Yeah.
No, I can put it on like a skirt or some shit. But like the fur coats definitely can't get away with that unless like by some miraculous global warming type shit, it hits below 40 in Florida.
Are you going back to Atlanta for like Christmas and stuff or no?
I don't know what we doing for Christmas. Honestly, like usually the family tradition was to go to my grandma's house in North Carolina. But we haven't done that. We didn't do it last Christmas. Obviously, it was COVID and all of them are old. And so,
yeah.
And no vaccine. They weren't available to them yet. But now they're all vaccinated. But I still don't think that we're doing anything like family. I'd probably go home to Atlanta, just be with my mom and my sisters. Like, if anything, that's what I would do. But no, probably not like any made, like, I don't know. I'll go back for Christmas or Thanksgiving or both. It just depends.
On what have you. So what are you looking forward to in fall then? Like, what are you most excited about?
Apple cider, hot cider. I love it. Especially with whiskey.
I was about to say, do you like your spiked?
Yes.
That's the bigger question here.
Yes. We had some actually on Christmas Eve last year. I made it from scratch at home. It was so good. It was really hot though. And then like the only thing I hate about hot drinks is like they go from like extremely hot, damn near undrinkable, to like cold.
Too cold.
If you don't like, you got to catch it at that perfect temperature. And the problem is like while you're waiting on it to cool down, you start doing something else and then it's cold again. So I don't know, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to that.
I would say with me, I'm looking, well, it's my birthday's in fall, so that's number one thing I'm looking forward to. I'm 33 this year. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I have zero idea what the fuck I'm doing. I'm gonna do something. Because last year I didn't do shit. So I'm going to do something. But mainly I'm just excited for all my shows coming back this fall. That's what I'm excited.
What are you watching the fall?
I'm looking forward to that final season of Insecure. I want to see if my fucking prediction is right. Like I've been telling niggas for 3 years. Y'all going to be mad when they pull some different world shit. And her and Lawrence get married. I'm rooting for that. So
they probably are going to get back together. I don't know. We'll see.
Kirby Enthusiasm season 11. I need it.
I didn't watch season 10 though. So.
Oh, you got to watch. That might be the best season of the show.
Okay. I'm going to watch it. I really do love Curb. I just never like keep up with it.
Yeah. Larry David, if I was white, if I was Jewish and rich and old, I would be Larry David. That's exactly
what I'd be. Funny. I really do like Larry David. I hope that like it doesn't come out that he has some racist or problematic past that would like really upset me, but he seems like everybody likes him and he's funny to me. He's hilarious though.
And he's also the creator of one of my favorite shows ever. I'm in a group of black people who enjoy Seinfeld.
Yeah, because I already know like it's not a lot of y'all. Love Seinfeld. Yeah. You know, I can't say I love or hate it. I honestly just never watched it. Like it would come on TV. It would like if I fell asleep with the TV on, it'll come on.
Well, I guess. Was the same way until like 2 years ago. I never watched it. Like my mom was like, "Oh, you gotta watch Seinfeld." I'm like, "I'm not watching that white ass shit." My mom was like, "Nah, Jerry Seinfeld thinks just like you." And so then I watched it. I watched like 3 episodes and I got hooked. But I also feel like you got to live a little life. Like if you don't live on your own for a little bit, you're not gonna get some of the jokes of Seinfeld. Like if I was in my 20s, I don't think I'd have fucked with it like that. But in my 30s, I enjoy it. So that's what I love about Curb, Succession. Season 3.
I said I was gonna start that.
Definitely gotta watch.
I haven't, but I am gonna start it. I don't know. It's hard for me to start new shows just because, like, I'm so connected to like my old shows that when I watch new shows, like, I gotta get past episode 1. That's the problem.
Right.
And usually, I can't get myself to focus, so I end up having to start it over a bunch of times. So I did start Succession one night. And it's not that it wasn't good, but for some reason, like that night, my brain was just like, no, we're not doing this.
What I do when I'm watching news, I put my phone on like the other side of the couch because I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to be on Twitter, on Instagram.
That's what I need to do. Just like, okay, stop. We're going to watch this.
We're going to watch this shit today. But also, Billions season 5 comes back.
I said I was going to watch that too. Never did.
Love Billions. Let's see who else we got. All the Marvel shit.
Let me write all this down.
Definitely got to write it. All the Marvel shit that's coming out. I'm looking forward to that. I fuck with The Morning Show too with Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, and Reese Witherspoon on Apple TV. Really fucking good.
That sounds funny. Yeah, I like all three of them. Really I need to watch that.
Really good.
Those are like three of my favorite whites. I guess.
Your favorite Caucasian.
I mean, you know, like as a black person, you have a list of white people. Yeah, you have like a group of white people, and for no particular reason, you just like them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just like them until I'm given a reason not to. Right. Yeah. Then I actually like those three people. Yeah. So.
And I think the last one. Oh yeah. I think one more. What's the other one? Power Book 2. I still watch Power.
God.
I still watch Power. And see, I accept it for the mediocre soap opera that it is.
I watched like the first 2 or 3 seasons of Power. I don't remember if it was 2 or 3, but I watched like a good chunk of it. And then like it came back for a new season. And somehow I was just like, you know what? Now that I think about it, I really don't care about the show anymore.
First 3 seasons of Power, great TV. But when Ghost went to jail and after killing a FBI agent and was out on the streets in 2 episodes,
I was gonna say it was definitely a turning point because I watched it and like my sister really was the one who was addicted to it. So like she would always watch it in the living room and like I would just go and watch it with her. So that's how I even started watching it. And I remember like I did enjoy it for a time. I'm not gonna pretend like I never liked it, but then like it just hit a turning point with me where I was like, all right, this is stupid. And I just stopped watching it. I don't know. I got fed up with the idiocy. I don't know. I was just like, all right, this makes no sense.
I think we all have shows that are like,
oh yeah, no, garbage bad. TV. We all yeah,
or it's garbage like, movies it's that you
terrible.
Like.
Yeah, but you watching it for some reason, like this is such an awful movie.
Like
you,
every time I watch Iron Man 3, I'm like, this shit is not good. Yeah, but no, I like it.
I mean, barely Iron Man 2 makes the cut if we being real. So
I'm Iron Man truther. Iron Man 2 truther. I treat that like Age of Ultron. Like
Iron Man 2 was mid at best.
Mickey Rourke was terrible. They could have just got a regular Russian guy.
I just feel like they made Iron Man, the first movie, so interesting. And then the second two were just like, We just all right, y'all just gotta finish the. Right. Y'all just gotta finish.
We just gotta finish the story.
Right? Yeah. Like, I'm see y'all just doing anything just to because like there were key parts in it that definitely mattered for the entire like universe, but I wish that they could have just like gave us like a spark notes of the key points instead of the movies. Like it was like, why did I watch 2.5 hours of bullshit? And the only thing that really mattered was that one scene,
one thing.
Like, you know, it was just like, all right. But I watched both of them. I mean, I just haven't ever revisited Iron Man 3 at all. I watched it twice. I watched it at the theaters and I watched it on TV. And then Iron Man 2, I've watched that actually a few times because there's always a Marvel movie on TV.
Yeah, I was about to say Iron Man 3 is on
USA, TV, FX, like every other day. Whatever the other channel that always be playing, FX Plus, like, because now FX has two channels. Like,
everybody got a plus.
Right. There's a Marvel movie on at any given time, especially on Saturdays. Like, you don't have nothing else to watch. You can flip through the channels. One of those Marvel movies will be on.
Yep.
Somebody's channel, somewhere.
Definitely. But those are things I look for, just my shows, you know, my birthday, and just football. I just love Sundays where I can just
football's
not
worry
about shit for football for 8 fucking hours. Like, first time I see red zone on my screen, I might shed a tear. And like, that's what I'm
actually, Sunday Ticket hasn't charged me yet. Shouldn't that be coming out?
I've seen people. See, I need to get shout out my nigga Damien. He be hooking me up. I ain't paid for Sunday Ticket.
Oh, like, must be nice.
In like 6 seasons.
The thing about it is, like, when you're a fan of a team
out the market,
you don't have a choice but to have something. And Sunday Ticket to me was just the best because I could also watch other games.
Yeah.
Versus the other ones where you get like a game pass and you can like follow your team specifically. But like,
do you have the one TV set up? Do you have the iPad? Because what I do, because I'm crazy.
I'm a psycho, so you're gonna hear my setup in a second. I'll let you go first.
I have the Bears on the big screen, which I got a 55 inch, and then I got like a 44 inch. I put red zone on there. And then when the Bears go off, I switch it. So then like I have one game in the afternoon slot that's the most interesting, and I put that on the big screen and have that. So that's usually what my setup is.
So I'm okay. Well, it might be a little bit easier for me because I'm not going to be in Atlanta. And so I won't be stuck. Cause like the problem was when I was in Atlanta on Fox, I was going to have to watch the Falcons every day at one. So the TV was usually the Falcons on the TV. Usually my Steelers, if they were playing at one, then I would have them on like another screen. And then I'll have another screen with like four of the games playing at the same time.
The square joints.
And it really, the four teams that I would have in it would just be teams where I have like important fantasy players where I need to see what they do. Like, it wouldn't just be because I'm interested.
That's
I would be hate watching like some teams just to see if they lose. But like for the most part, it would be like, okay, I need to watch this game because I need to see what this player does. I need to watch that game. But like, the only thing that is kind of different now that I'm in Florida is like on Fox, I'm probably going to have to watch some Florida team. Because again, Pittsburgh won't be in network unless they're playing like a team in the area, you know, just in the general region. So I probably will have to still watch them on Sunday Ticket. And the only thing that bothers me about it is how delayed it is. Like, only because
it is like,
an awful
driver too.
But, and like a lot of like the Steelers fans, like I keep most of them honestly like muted during a regular year because we don't have any of the same interests for the most part. I mean, a few of the Black people, but like a lot of them are, I don't really care about their tweets until like football season.
Do you make like lists?
Yeah, I do have lists. I don't really look at them that much, but I have them just for like sometimes I need to see what, you know, what people are saying about something.
Right.
But like the problem is like the game is always delayed on NFL Sunday Ticket. So like I'm seeing people being like, oh no, why would he do that? And then like I'm looking at it knowing that something's dumb about to happen, like something dumb is about to happen or whatever. Like, how did he drop that? And I'd be like,
I do is like I like making lists for all of my team. Like I got a White Sox list, I got a Bears list, I got a Bulls list. So then when the games are on, I don't see nobody else's tweets but mine. Yeah. And also I don't see other people slandering my team and I react.
Oh yeah, no. See, when my team is playing, especially they're playing 1 o'clock, luckily when there's other teams playing at one, so people have way other
TV.
Yeah, but no, oh my God, it stresses me out on like Sunday night, yeah. Monday night, Thursday night football games, only because like everyone on my timeline knows that I'm a Steelers fan. Yep. So all eyes on you, win or lose, somebody's gonna be saying something to me. But also like, it's something really like heartbreaking about watching everybody just rag on your team, acting like you unbothered by it. You know, and just try to tweet through it. Like we all do it. You just be like, ha, whatever. And inside you be like, shut up.
Like, I swear I delete so many tweets. Like I'll be in ready to respond.
Because I'd be getting real violent. Like, honestly, like you can ask anybody. I calm down a lot. I'd be like, sometimes my replies be getting real like violent. Then I'd be like, that's the game, Courtney. And I'll just like backspace it or delete it real quick before they see it. I'm like, come on, it's not
you
that
are preaching
like,
to the choir right now. It's hard to convince yourself
in the moment though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And that's why I do the list. So then I see other members of my fan base.
And we have similar feelings. Makes sense. Yeah, maybe I need to focus more on the list so I can like just
trust me. I want the same because sometimes now what I do, I just put my phone up. I'm gonna say something.
I will say like you're lucky enough to like be a hometown fan and like have people that you follow that are actually from your hometown, like this way more Bears fans than not, like that you can see other people saying like similar things versus me. Like I'm from Atlanta. Like most of my people that I know from, well, I'm not gonna say most, a lot of people that I know from Atlanta are Falcons fans, but also a lot of them aren't. And for some reason, like, I don't know if it's cause like I'm also not an Atlanta fan. I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I'm always going to be a fan of home team. Yeah. But like, anyway, I'm my favorite team and the team that I stand, obviously being the Steelers. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm also not a Falcons fan. So it stands out, but like all of the other non-Falcons fans, they're just like mean.
Right.
Even like to Falcons fans sometimes to the point where I'm just like, I can't watch this anymore. Right. Like it's sad for me to see too, like, the way that they just dog them no matter what, like, and it's just like they do the same thing any other team does, you know, but they still are gonna get like the most slander, so I kind of feel bad for them too. And then like then it'll be a Falcons fan saying something to me and I'm like, see, I don't want to say nothing rude about your team
because I like fuck with y'all. Right,
you're forcing my hand right now because like they'll be like, oh, y'all sorry as hell, and I'll be like, I know the same who I think it is.
Definitely like the big boy. I know that ain't who I think it is.
I'm like, excuse me? But yeah. So, like, I don't know. It just kind of makes it's kind of heartbreaking sometimes.
You gotta talk yourself off the ledge.
Talking shit about your team. And, like, you want to talk shit about them too, but now you can't give anyone any ammunition. But sometimes I can't help it. And I say mean things about people on my team too. I've had some funny football takes that I hope are not like somewhere in an archive where someone's ready to dig them up on me. Like one day, like, remember you said this about James Conner? Like, oh, I don't remember saying that in 2019, but perhaps I did. Like, I don't know. So I don't want my tweets put up on the Summer Jam screen. So I try to like now be a little bit nicer, but
sometimes you just gotta say, fuck it.
You got to get it off your chest because if you don't, you're just going to hold on to it all season. And then when they finally let you down in like a game that matters, you're going to be livid. So it's like you got to dump it off every game. Like every game they piss you off, make sure you get it off your chest. So that by the next week, when you're mad at them again for something stupid, it'll be like new. And it won't be like, I'm still kind of mad from last week and now this week, you know.
I'm already mentally preparing for what my mention is going to look like if the White Sox don't win the World Series. And I think it's going to be even more piss me off about that. It's going to be people who don't even watch baseball. Like, you just doing this to fuck with me, okay?
Oh, no, that's how I feel. Like, especially, like, even, like, with even people from Atlanta, people from Atlanta who aren't Falcons fans, like, people who I know for a fact don't watch football at all, but they'll be like, the Falcons losing again. And I'm like, you don't even watch football. Why do you care? Like, you never tweet when they win or anything like
ever.
That.
Ever.
Like, you never be like, oh shit, they won. But like, as soon as you see other people talking about them losing, like you the first person to run to make a joke about it. I just think that people like that are so odd. Like,
it's annoying.
You don't have a dog in this fight. You just want to like bother people.
My cousin's like, they from Chicago and you always be talking shit about the Bears. And he had the nerve to call me last week till Mitch came out. I'm like, first of all, my nigga, when Mitch was here, you didn't let me breathe. Okay. And now you're trying to talk shit to me about a preseason game? Get the fuck out of my face. Man. I'm a Laker fan, ain't never been to LA. Get the fuck out of my face. All right, shut up talking to me.
It's so funny. Oh my God. Like, I just really can't wait for fall season in general. Like, I know a lot of people like pumpkin spice when the fall comes up. I always like thought that it was like just like a big,
it's a Yacoubian beverage.
I thought that it was like an inside joke that I'm not in on, like that people like pumpkin spice stuff so bad. Cause I tasted like pumpkin spice latte or whatever the hell they had at Starbucks, just cause I wanted to know what it tastes like. Everybody was talking about it. And I was just like,
this what y'all was hyping?
I don't know what it was. It tastes like almost like a minty spice milk. It was not good. I didn't like it. I don't know.
I've never had it before. I have no intention of trying it.
It's not worth your time. Stick just, to the rivers and the lakes.
I just see white people love it. And I'm like, white people love something that bad, maybe I should stay away from it.
Yeah, you know, white girls, they love some Ugg boots and Starbucks. Ugg boots, Starbucks, little peacoat. That's like a morning routine for them.
White woman starter kit.
Yeah, the starter kit for real. North Face and some leggings with some boots and Starbucks. You gotta have the Starbucks.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm not into pumpkin spice actually. So they can. I wish they would discontinue pumpkin spice stuff just because every fall is just like
mom's drinking it.
I mean, it's just like I don't mind. You know, I know that it's a seasonal thing. Like pumpkins are seasonal. That's not really the issue. It's more so like, why can't we just stick to like the pumpkin stuff that's already here? Like, why are you trying to infuse everything and make it pumpkin? Like, why am I going to the grocery store and I can't find regular cleaner, but there's a pumpkin spice flavored one for some reason? Like, come on. Like, can we stop doing this? Everything doesn't need to be pumpkin just because it's fall. There are other flavors.
There are other flavors for you to try. Stop being corny just because it's October.
Right. I don't know. I'm really excited about Spider-Man.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for that movie.
Yeah. Oh my God. This has been like I watched a little leaked trailer the night before it actually came.
Oh, I did too.
The leaked trailer, by the way, was like the worst quality shit I've ever seen in my life.
Niggas did not care.
I was like squinting. I was like, what is that? That a person? Or is that like a cloud in the background? Yeah. You know, like, I think. Is that? And then it was like, it didn't have like the CGI on it. Nope. So like some of the scenes were really weird. It was like floating through space, like nothing. It was just white.
Niggas had like their CGI suits on and shit. Like,
yeah, but
before. Yeah.
All in all, from the trailer, I think that like, I don't know. Every time something drops, people like read really deep into stuff. Oh, and like everybody's like, Kuiper. Oh, this and this and this. And I'm just like, trailers are not meant to give you the entire synopsis on anything. The trailer is meant to make you think you know what it's going to be about. I doubt it's, very seriously.
Marvel trailers.
Yeah. And I'm like, I doubt very seriously it happens the way it looks in a trailer. Peter goes to Dr. Strange and say, hey, can you do me this favor? And he's just like, sure thing, bud. And that's how it goes. Like, you know that's
why didn't you come to me earlier?
Right. What? Shoot, you should ask me that last week. Like, yeah. We all know that that's likely not how it plays out. Like, yeah. There's a lot more elements to it here. But, you know, you leave it to the Marvel stands to go crazy. I was on Reddit reading people's weird theories because it's really fun to me. Like, I really love Reddit. That's where you find like the nerdiest of nerds, and you can just like tap into some things in a trailer you didn't even see. You're like, oh, did you see? Because he's wearing a red shoe in this one and a blue one in that one. Yeah, so those are two different scenes. Right. And I'm just like, okay, nice. Yeah. Glad you pointed that out. I wouldn't have noticed that. But yeah, I have hopes of what I think is going to happen. I also have hopes of what I hope doesn't happen.
What do you hope doesn't happen?
I mean, I hope that this isn't like just like a closing for Spider-Man.
Oh, hell no. They're making way too much money.
Just logistically speaking, just from the Sony MCU whole thing anyway, like Marvel, Sony, whole tobacco, I'm just like, I hope that like they're not using this whole, I want everybody to forget that I'm Spider-Man, as like a segue into like, okay, now we're just gonna have him as a featured character, which is probably what's gonna happen for a little while anyway. I don't mind that. I don't want it to be like I don't want it to be cheap. I want it to be like a good story. Like,
right.
I really enjoyed Spider-Man in the MCU. From an outsider looking in, because like I wasn't a huge Spider-Man series with Tobey. Like it's not that I didn't like it, but like I wasn't
a fan.
Like everybody is so emotionally connected to it. I don't feel that way personally. I liked it honestly, but like after the second movie, I had little to no interest in really even seeing the third. I only watched it because it was on TV. But like I'm not that emotionally connected to that. So like this was the first Spider-Man. Well, no, that's a lie, because I really did like The Amazing Spider-Man, actually. But like this is the first Spider-Man that I just like was connected to for real. Like I was like, oh, really? Okay. Cause like I grew up knowing like comic book characters, and some of them are your favorite, so you dig more deep into them than others. And Spider-Man wasn't like my favorite. It's not that I didn't like him, but like he wasn't my favorite. I know everybody loves Spider-Man, but I was the big DC person. I really like Batman. So like obviously I'm gonna know a lot more about Batman than Spider-Man. So this is like kind of like my introduction into like deep diving into like Peter Parker. And it also inspired me to like read more about the comics, because like I said, I wasn't really into Spider-Man. So that wasn't something that I explored.
I do that too. Like the movie's coming out. Do your research on it. Yeah. Like what story is it on? I think a lot of people in their attachment to them old Spider-Man movies is nothing but nostalgia.
I think anybody being attached to anything that's that old is just like, okay, we get it. You liked it and you were 12 and now you're 36. Like, okay, like, I don't know what you want us to do with that.
Right.
It's not coming back. Yeah. They're not going to remake it like the same way that it was before. So only thing you can do is put on your old ass DVD or like leave the rest of us alone. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just really weird when people hold on, like, it ain't better than the first one. It's like, well, too bad. It's 2021. It's
2021.
It doesn't matter.
Life goes on. Somebody be saying this about these movies 15 years from now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know why people be so connected to like old things when like remake things. I mean, even honestly, like DC fans, it really pisses me off. Like the movies, not that good. But like the connection that like you think that you're going to get Batman from the 90s, that's not happening again. That was Batman in the 90s. Movies don't even work like that anymore. Movies aren't even being written like they were in the 90s.
Yeah.
So like, just let it go, dude. Like you can go back and watch those whenever you want that little piece of nostalgia, but stop expecting like new movies to be like old movies.
Right.
They're not going to be.
Exactly. I agree with that. I appreciate everybody who sent me the Spider-Man trailer, because when like 5 minutes passed and I didn't tweet about it, people were concerned. They know how big of a Marvel head I am. Like I got texts, I got tweets. And it was in the midst of me ranting at my mediocre baseball team right now. And I was beyond infuriated. And my brother texted, you see that Spider-Man trailer? Like, nigga, fuck Spider-Man. So after I calmed down, I watched it and I thought it was awesome. I've watched that shit like 10 times, I'm not gonna lie. I'm really excited for that movie. I think they're trying to put the Sinister Six together. That's what it looks like. I don't really care for the other Spider-Mans being. I know a lot of people
think it's a cool cameo. I don't think it's what people think it's gonna be. I think
it's not heavy.
Cameo.
Yeah, I hope it's not.
I think that they're just cameos, to be honest. Like just like a play on like the old Spider, just kind of like an acknowledgement, you know. Rather than acting like we never had no other Spider-Man movies, here's a cool way to like bring them in as little cameo guests. I don't think it's as big as people are like, oh my God, Tobey, like thinking he's going to be like a recurring
huge character. Yeah,
yeah, like I don't think that that's happening. But
this
like
is Tom Holland's franchise.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I doubt very seriously they would bring them in as like big characters in a Tom. This is centered literally around Tom Holland, Spider-Man. This is the Spider-Man that they're branding right now. So they're not going to do anything to take the shine away from him. So like, they're going to be cameos. Like, I think that they will. Will they have more than one scene? Maybe, but that doesn't really mean that they're not going to be
prominent characters.
Like they're not going to be big characters. Okay. I think it's cool that they're doing it. Honestly, I don't know what my expectations are. I'm really more excited for Doctor Strange. I know I got a long time for that, but like,
yeah, it's March.
That's what I'm more excited about. Honestly, I really like Doctor Strange. I rewatched Doctor Strange the other day and I forgot like how cool that movie was. Yeah. Just graphically, it was really cool.
Yeah. I love Doctor Strange. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is great in that role. I think the second one's gonna be insane. I think this is Spider-Man is gonna be kind of like the precursor to it. Mm-hmm. Because you know the rumor that Tom Holland's in that. We already know Elizabeth Olsen and Scarlet Witch is gonna be in there, Loki's gonna be in there. You know, there's rumor that they're going to take the Captain Carter character from What If, and she's actually going to be in there. So there's a lot of rumors with these two movies. So I'm really looking forward to see what exactly is true
and
what's false, you know. But I'm going to, you know, I think the thing right now is figuring out what time I'm watching these movies, because I'm going to see Shang-Chi next weekend, and actually next Friday. But I picked the matinee showing where it's like nobody up in that motherfucker, because I'm not feeling packed crowds right now.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely feel it, because that's what, I mean, I haven't even thought about it now that I think about it. Dang, I guess it's smart to buy your ticket in advance, though.
Yeah, I usually do Thursday, you know, I had the Thursday night premiere.
I can't even, during a time like this, that don't even seem like a good idea.
I'm like Friday at like 1 p.m. Niggas would be at work.
Saturday,
but I'm like, nah, kids off school. I'm like,
no. Nope, yeah, no, you got to choose a business day.
Business day, right.
I know you got to work, so.
Yeah, exactly, and you're not cutting work for Shang-Chi. It was an Avengers
movie.
You can't really do that. Yeah.
You can't really do that in Florida. It's too many old people here that actually don't have shit to do.
Right.
So you think that you're going to catch like a little business day matinee and
there's going to
be a whole slew of people there, so. And obviously, like Florida, and they're not handling the COVID-19 situation well at all. So, like, nobody's wearing a mask. So, it's just even more risky. I don't even know about the, because I'm going to see Candyman this weekend, but I'm going on Sunday.
As a nigga from Chicago, we do not fuck with Candyman. I am not watching that. It's based in Chicago.
Like, yeah, I know that, but like, do y'all think he's real? Like,
I'm not finna try and find out.
I'm just like, what's the story there? Or do y'all believe
it? As kids, growing up in Chicago, as kids, we were always taught, don't say Candyman. We used to lock people in the bathroom
and make them say it.
Yeah, and like, when you open that door, do you say that?
Let me get this straight. So y'all don't fuck with Candyman because y'all are scared, for lack of a better word, but you would lock somebody in a closet and make them say it.
We're kids, we're fucking idiots. Like, we would lock, and then what we would do is,
if he did come out, then what?
Like, they'll say it, and as soon as they get to the fourth one, we start banging on the door and then we leave. It's idiot shit to kids do.
Kids are so stupid.
I'm not saying it. Look at the good cast though. I like the cast.
I like the first Candyman. Well, the old one. I really like that. Like, as a kid, that was one of like the creepiest movies.
Yeah.
Not a lot scares me. I'm a really big fan of a horror movie. So like, if there's one that genuinely kind of gives me the creeps, then I'm a huge fan of it. So like, I really liked Candyman a lot. I'm just surprised that people in Chicago are like just so adamant about, we don't fuck with him. And I'm just like, what do you think?
He's gonna come out, he's gonna come get you. If I went in my bathroom right now and I did that, I'm not getting no sleep tonight. I'm be like, I'm hearing every little thing. What the fuck was that?
It's crazy because, like, I remember when we were kids, my dad, he was so childish. He would, like, do stuff like that to us, like, close the door in the back, like, while I'm in the bathroom, just doing anything, close the door real quick, turn the light off, and he'd be like, Candyman is coming. And I'm just like, why are you doing that? He was so childish. Now, we were, like, frightened. And then I told him, I was like, why would you traumatize us like that? Like, what if we're legitimately scared about that? I don't know. I'm not really scared of any like movie thing. I always just be like, it's just a movie. But I will say, like, it doesn't mean that I don't get creeped out. Like, I remember after I saw The Conjuring 2, that was the one with the nun and the little skinny crooked man or whatever they called him. Those were just really creepy images to me. And I had went to see it by myself, and then I drove home and it was dark outside. And then when I came and I parked my car in the driveway, I swear I saw somebody standing there. I was like, oh. So like, as much as I'm like, I ain't scared about that shit.
Yeah,
I ain't
no scared. Yeah.
It was a little.
That was a movie that, this isn't a horror movie, but I was 5 years old and it scared the shit out of me. I tweeted this thing. It was like, what's a movie that's not a horror movie that scares you? When I was five, my mom played The Wiz for me. As a 5 year old, Michael Jackson is the scarecrow. Scared the shit out of me when they cut his legs off. Scared the shit out of me as a little kid. I could not go to sleep.
You know what? Honestly, I found The Wizard of Oz to actually be creepier than The Wiz. It was something about the black and white and the witch and the music, the theme music for when the witch was coming. I don't know. Like, I was actually genuinely scared of The Wizard of Oz, but The Wiz, it was fun to me. I was like, he's on down. Like, I was getting it. That was fun. That was fun to me, but The Wizard of Oz is kind of creepy. I think, like I said, I think it was just like the white people, the black and white. And you hear all these stories that are probably made of, oh, it was a girl hanging in the background in one of the scenes. I don't know. Like, it was just creepy. yeah, this, now that I'm older, I'm just like, that's probably not true. But I was super invested in that when I was younger. I thought it was true. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Now that I'm older, I'm like, that was probably made up.
You're going to have to tell me how Candyman is, because I'm definitely not going to see that movie.
Oh, God. All right. Well, never fear. I will be here. I'll give you a nice recap. Give
us a nice recap, yeah.
Give you a nice review, since you won't go see it because you're scared of Candyman, apparently.
Hey, I follow Chicago rules.
Big age. And I can't believe Chicago it. Rules. Oh, rules. Okay. Well, anyway, moving right along. I was rewatching The Sopranos. I finally have gotten someone to watch it who has been adamant about not watching that shit. I ain't going to watch that. They're finally watching it now, so I'm really happy about it. Yeah, loved it. I was like, oh, I actually kind of like this. This is actually good. I'm like, oh, you know, you don't say.
I have taste.
But it was just more so in preparation to get him ready for, like, when I want to go see the Many Saints of Newark, because I don't want to go by myself. Right. And I want somebody that also knows the story to go see it. So we can be like,
so they're not asking questions and shit.
Right, exactly. So in watching that, I realized that, like, it's a lot of TV characters that, like, people like that I don't like, or that people hate that I really don't think are that bad. And so I comprised the list.
Let's hear this.
So I have the TV characters that everybody hates, but I don't. So first on my list is Skyler White. I can't for the life of me figure out why everyone decided that she was the main villain of the show. Like, and the only thing that I could attribute it to is just like Hollywood always paints this image of like the nagging wife being the downfall of the man. But it's just like her husband, who had cancer, all of a sudden start lung cancer at that, like really serious cancer. Suddenly she thought he was still a chemistry teacher and she found out he was cooking meth, which was already, you know, wild.
Yeah.
But then she kind of went along with it. But then she also found out like he was a big time meth cooker. He was like really mixed up into the shit. Like, yeah. And then like, I don't know. And then like the way he was lying about it and all of that. And she was helping him launder money and all that. And then people just like, she was so annoying because she cheated on him. And I'm just like, I mean, yeah, that sucks. But he, again, look at the circumstances here. What choices did he give her? He was 24/7 damn near cooking meth and all these bad business deals with people. I don't know. And oh, she gave that money to Ted. She felt bad about his injury. Regardless, the point being, I don't know why everybody just focused all of their hate on her when Walter White, his damn self, was a terrible person.
He was the one cooking the meth.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, he was a terrible person. So like, it's not that she's my favorite character in the show, but I definitely don't hate her. Sansa Stark, another person. I just didn't understand why everybody just decided she was like the worst person on the show. It was just like, here we are presented a show with like some of the worst people like probably ever. Like, it's a bunch of terrible people. Take your pick in Game of Thrones, honestly. You could make a list of the 10 worst people and it would not be wrong regardless of who you put on there. And so it was just like, the fact that everybody was just like, oh, I hate Sansa. She was so mean to Arya when they were kids. And it's just like,
forgetting what Arya did to her.
I'm just like, guys, y'all are taking this really personally. Like, she was a kid. She was a kid. Yes, she was dumb and stupid, but so was the other one. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like, even after like seeing everything that she went through, people just still wasn't happy. They weren't happy for her at the end. Like, it was just like, man, fuck Sansa. And it's just like, Jesus, why are you? Like,
so aggressive.
I just think there are so many other people to hate in the show than Sansa. Like, she was, for the most part, harmless. She was mostly the victim. And she ended up really being an important asset. So you should let go of the beef that you had with her from season one when she got Arya's direwolf sent away. Like,
when she was a child, by the way.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, we're so far removed from that. Like, I can't believe y'all are still holding on to that, but whatever. I don't know. I thought it was weird. And My last person is Ralph Cifaretto. No.
You like Ralph?
It's not that I like him.
You gotta explain this one.
It's not that I like him or think that he's a good person, but he was hilarious. Honestly, he had a great sense of humor. he was honestly like a picture of what the rest of the men were, but he was just more of an asshole with it. Like the rest of them hated him and thought he was like scum of the earth. And then look at the shit that they was doing. Like they were all terrible. Polly killed an old lady.
Yeah.
For no reason, except to steal her money. Like, yep. I'm just like, these are not good people that we're dealing with in general. Like, let's not act like Ralph is the worst person on the show. Like, they're all pretty.
Everybody on that show ain't shit.
And I thought for the show villain, because like, no, there were different villains each season. He was one of the best ones. Like, in my opinion, he was always an adversary for like Tony. They were never really like on the same side, but they worked together. And Ralph knew he was annoying to Tony. And Tony was annoyed by Ralph, but Ralph didn't make it change his behavior when he was around Tony. If anything, it egged him on, like, oh, I know I'm getting on your nerves, so let me make a joke that's going to make you even more mad. Now, in the end, Ralph probably got what he deserved, but I mean, they all deserved what they got anyway. Right. Like, none of them were good people. So it was just like, at least he was funny. I mean, like, he wasn't like Richie or Priya. He was annoying.
Yeah, I think with Ralphie, he first of all, he will always be the commissioner from Bad Boys to me.
In that role and then seeing him as Ralphie, like, because I obviously saw Bad Boys before I'd ever watched The Sopranos. So like I seen it and I was like, wait a minute.
How you watch something and to me, at least for me, you have to make something outstanding for me to change your name from the person I know, like Mahershala Ali. He was Remy Danton from House of Cards to me for an extremely long time.
I never watched House of Cards.
It was great until Kevin Spacey was in
that. Yeah, I heard. Yeah. That's what most people say. Yeah. It was just never the same after.
It was never the same. And then the final season, obviously he wasn't on there. And they had Robin Wright, who by default, I just hate her because of Jenny and Forrest Gump. It has nothing to do. Like I can't separate Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but that's another like example of what you were saying. Like you become that character in my head. Like
exactly.
I seen this movie. I don't know what streaming site I was on, but it was something that Tony Soprano, rest in peace. But like his name isn't Tony Soprano, right?
Gandolfini. Well, he's Tony Soprano.
But he is Tony Soprano, and I see him in the like in the trailer, and I was like, Tony Soprano. I guess it was a movie that he made, like. After The Sopranos, like before he died, though.
Soprano. Did it have, because I seen a movie with him too. I think it was his last movie.
He was talking in his like his regular voice, not his Tony Soprano. And that's what really threw me off because he's talking like a regular white dude. He was like, hey,
he was calling just like, you a fucking Mulian or nothing like that. Like,
And it's so funny, like watching, because I didn't start watching The Sopranos until after he had already died. So. Right. I was young. When The Sopranos came out in, 2001, I was...
It came out in 99.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. The Wire came out in 2001.
Yeah,
Sopranos came out in 1999, and Oz came out in 1997. Yeah, I remember those dates. Because they're always Oz, 2 years
Soprano,
apart.
Sex and the
Sopranos,
Sex and the
Sopranos,
That Sex was like the big three.
The Wire... Yeah.
Because I was 11 when Sopranos came out, so I definitely couldn't watch.
Exactly. So it's like, that was 1999. Yeah. I was born in 93. It premiered in the fall. Yeah. I don't even know. I'm just assuming it premiered in the fall. I was likely 6 years old. Yeah. So obviously, I wasn't watching it at that time anyway. But like, I didn't even watch The Sopranos for the first time. I think I was maybe like 24 or 25. But like, I loved it, obviously. That's why I'm such a huge fan now. But like, so I had never heard him like talk. I didn't watch him at Emmy Awards or anything, except in his awards. Right. So like, after I heard his real voice on that trailer, I was just telling you about, I did like a deep dive, like watching interviews with him. Cause I thought it was just hilarious.
That's how that nigga talk.
Right, I thought it was just hilarious to hear like, because in my mind, he talked like Tony Soprano, because Edie Falco, she really talks like that.
She really talks like Khan, right?
Yeah, so it's like, I just assume that that's just how she talked, because like a lot of the people actually talk like
that. Like Jamie Lynn Sigler, when she did her run on Entourage, when she was Turtle's girlfriend on Entourage for like a season and a half, I was like, that's Meadow. Metal moved to Los Angeles.
Some people just become right. the parents. Like, right. I don't know. It's crazy to see like Metal and AJ.
I don't even like, know that nigga real name.
Something Eiler. What's the first name?
Is it Michael or some shit like that? Did you see
something Eiler?
Did you see that movie that came out on Amazon this year? I forgot the name of it. It's about Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X.
A Night in Miami.
One Night in Miami. Because
I never seen it.
Christopher Moltisanti and D'Angelo Barksdale.
They both in it.
They're Muhammad Ali.
I see how you calling him Christopher Moltisanti. Exactly. No, he will always be Chris to me. I don't care what he is. I'd be like, fucking Chris. Even I watch Goodfellas.
And I still got the whole Sopranos cast in that motherfucker.
Oh yeah, of course. I really do like the authenticity, though. Honestly, yeah. of like the Italian movies. I wish that like other cultures,
the new black movies. Don't
yeah, I'm like, I wish yeah. other cultures would do that too. Like they would cast people that are
authentic,
familiar with the culture. Like yeah. not that everyone in the show was Italian. I know that like. The kids weren't and like Carmela's parents weren't, but like most of them were actually Italian American. Yeah. So at least they could like relate on some level to like the culture. But like, I don't know. I really liked it. And honestly, like I said, I think that Ralph Cifaretto was just perfect for the show. Like season four was really dark outside of Ralphie and his yeah. jokes. Like if he wasn't there to lighten the mood, yes, he was a jackass, but he was funny. Like
then he got his head busted.
Yeah. Rest in peace, nigga Ralph.
I think that one, I think that, you know, talk about the Tony Soprano, it was this movie he did. I think it was the last movie before he died. And this is like during last year during the pandemic while I'm bored and I just need anything to fucking watch. And this is movie he played in with Julie Lee Dreyfus, who plays Elaine on Seinfeld, and they're like a couple. And he was the nicest nigga ever. And that was, it's just
I wonder if that's the movie that
it
I
it might be like, the movie that you're talking about.
And I, was like, I just was on one of these streaming I don't know. I have Amazon. All of them. So it was on something. Yeah, yeah. And I saw it. And I was like, is that Tony Soprano?
Like, I was like, this is the nicest nigga ever. And it threw me off.
Oh, no, movie. He really is. His voice is all soft and
soft
sweet.
Guy, like, yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. He doesn't sound intimidating. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, rest in peace. He was great in The Sopranos. I can't speak to much of his other work because The Sopranos was just the first thing.
Yeah, that's his number one thing.
But hey, he really, that could have just been it and he would have been a legend regardless. Yep. Like, and I'm really like happy that they got his son playing younger
man,
him.
Man, he looks just like him.
It's so weird because you would think he doesn't even have another parent. He looks just
exactly. I don't really have that many people. Like I'm with you on Sansa, and I was team hate Sansa for an extremely long time.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Then my last rewatch of Thrones, I was like, damn, think about it. Like she went through a lot.
And she really didn't even do nothing. Like, even yeah. like everybody's like, oh, she wrote that letter to Rob about bending the knee. And I was like,
she had no fucking choice.
You thought that she had a choice where she yeah. was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And she would have walked away unscathed. Like she was forced to do that.
They showed her father's head hanging. What else was she finna fucking do? I mean, yes, I'm with you on that. There's not really any characters that people hate who I love, but there is characters who people love who I hate. Like I if we go back to Entourage, I can't stand Eric fucking Murphy. I hate him. I hate Vinny. I don't hate Vinny, but Vinny's roster of women was very overrated. My man Turtle had a better roster than him. And I will go to the grave talk about that. But
oh Lord.
There's not really any that I like, you know, hate day. But I have a top five HBO hated list though. And I think most people hate me. So I've got number one is Stringer Bell. I hate Stringer.
No, I think that's pretty universal. I don't know anybody that's just like, oh, I love Stringer.
I clap every time I watch his death. That's
yeah, me
one.
Too. I just be like, okay, he had to come.
Here it comes.
He was moving real well. Right.
Moving
out
real
here.
Shiesty. Number two would be Joffrey Baratheon.
Oh, yeah.
This little punk ass.
He was
terrible. Number three.
Really a little shit.
Number three, Molly Carter from Insecure. She is the worst person on planet Earth. She's a terrible fucking friend. She's fucking, she's one of the people who got they got a good career, but they're miserable in every other aspect in their life. That's her.
I just find her character to be annoying. Like yes, there's very. No real story there. And I don't know if it's like, and this is no like dig at anybody else, but I don't know if like they write her to be that way on purpose or if that's just the way it comes off. But it's just like, there's no story there. She's just Issa's friend who is annoying there. And just be doing stuff. Like, none of it makes sense. It's not going towards some bigger picture. It's just she be doing shit. And for some reason, we have to be subjected to it. Like, I don't like her character either.
Yeah.
I can agree with you there.
So that's 3-4. Like I said, Eric Murphy from Entourage. He's a terrible fucking manager. If this was real Hollywood, Vinny Chase would have been on Dancing with the Stars by season 3 of that fucking television show. And my final one is AJ fucking Soprano. Now, I don't hate AJ as much as I used to.
My first rewatch hated AJ. Second one, annoying. Still hated him. Yeah. By like the third one, I kind of feel bad for him more than I hate him.
Yeah, he's still annoying. Actually, I would tie him and his fucking grandmother, Liv.
Oh no, I hated her.
That's a tie right
there. At first, I felt bad for her too, until like, I guess I didn't really understand like if she was just a confused old lady.
Right.
The first time I watched it, just because like, you know, the first time you're watching something, you're watching it to like just familiarize yourself with it and shouldn't just know the basic of the story. So you don't really do a deep dive into like character analysis. But like by like the second or third time, I was just like,
paying attention to other shit.
It's awful. Yeah. Like, Jesus, I didn't like her.
That would be my list. Now, I would say, I always make this comparison that I feel like AJ was treated that way because Tony Soprano, I'm going to use a power comparison. Tony wishes his son was like Tariq St. Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And Ghost wished his son was like AJ. You know, just, you know, want to do the straight edge life. And Tony wanted his son to not be a bitch. Like, he wanted him to, like...
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, the problem was, like, and this really just fell on Tony mostly anyway, the reason why AJ was the way he was is because, like, instead of just nurturing him as a father, he was too busy, like, being disappointed in, like, him not being like him. And it's just like, well, Tony, you're also not like your dad either. Like, so... You got a lot of his attributes, but you're not like him either. So, like, it's just, I don't know. AJ never had a fighting chance, honestly, because no one paid attention to him. He was the younger brother. He was just a baby until he was about 13. Then they wanted him to grow up. And it was like, well, you've been babying him for the family years. Name. Well, it was like Carmella babied him, but she also like still tried to parent him. The problem was Tony never tried to parent him and would only spoil him. And that was it. So it was just like, you got two people working for two different goals. Like, she wanted to spoil him, but teach him to be an adult. Tony just wanted AJ to go from being a baby to an adult and there's no in between.
That's it, like, right.
That one scene where he like says about the vasectomy.
Oh,
that was so sad to me.
Dude,
like,
Jeremy.
That's just so cruel. Like, man, I know he was under a lot of stress at the time because Chris is in the hospital and maybe that, but like, that was mean. That was very mean to say right in front of him. Like,
and said it so easily. Like, it had been on his mind for a long
time. No, it had. You can tell that it had. And I think that was what made it worse, because it was just like, wow, you've been waiting on a moment to say you're disappointed in me,
exactly.
Basically.
Like, exactly.
Great. Good job, Dad. You did it. And then you tried to make up with me with pizza. Obviously, it worked, though. So.
He did try to pull that. Yeah, but
no.
That's my list, though.
I have characters that everybody likes, and I don't like. Just like two of them.
Okay.
And that is... Cedric Daniels from The Wire.
You don't like Cedric? I didn't really care. I didn't have like a real opinion on Cedric Daniels.
I found him to be really self-righteous. And it wasn't that he was like bad at his job. Like, he's a good, strong, like moral character, I guess, but he wasn't necessarily a good leader because he was just like, I'm right. We're doing this the way I want to do it, and I'm a good person, and so this is how we doing it. And it was just really self-righteous. It was just like, hey, look at me, I'm the only one doing this the straight and narrow way. And it was just like, congratulations, like, you're not cutting corners, and you're also stressed the fuck out, and you're still getting shitted on so by the whole department. So it's like, congratulations, I guess. Like, and then at the end he ends up going ahead and becoming a lawyer because that's what he should have been doing in the first place.
Yeah, I kind of turned a lawyer because McNulty fucked everything up.
Yeah. Oh, McNulty, I'm really like mixed on how I feel about McNulty, honestly.
I'm a McNutty guy, as Bubs calls him, McNutty. I am a McNutty guy.
I think that like he was good at his job, but he was also kind of
a dick.
He was like terrible. He was selfish. He didn't really care who he affected when he did stuff. if it wasn't relevant to whatever he his goal was right now.
Right.
And the last season was really just a prime example of how that obviously is not a good mindset to have.
Blew up in their face.
Man, him, and then it's just Walter White. I don't like him. I don't know why everybody has dreams of like running major drug operations for whatever reason, and so like they really like idolize any type of person involved with drugs and TV shows and movies, no matter how shitty of a person they are. And to me, it was just like Walter White is not a good person. I don't know why y'all. It's the same like when we were growing up and like kids, I'm talking about in like middle school, being like obsessed with like John Gotti, and it was just like, you're 13, bro. Like, well, you're never gonna be him. You're not a mobster. You're not even Italian. Like, what is
your
issue?
You've never seen a drug in real life before.
Yeah, it's like people being obsessed with like El Chapo and all those people, and it's just like they don't know anything about like any. They just know like this person was rich and they were into drugs. I want to be like them. I don't know. I didn't feel sorry for Walter towards the end. It was like, you brought all this on yourself. You didn't have to cook meth. You decided to cook meth.
Nobody
this is what happens
you
when
that.
You become a major meth dealer.
I agree. I couldn't finish Breaking Bad. It bored the shit out of me. Like, and my
brother do have to give it a chance. I know people say that all the time, but like I felt the same way about The Wire. You know, it took me like 3 or 4 tries before I got past like episode 3. It was just really
long?
It was really slow. Like the first few episodes, you're still trying to figure out what's going on, and it's really slow. There's like not a lot of like. Now that I've rewatched it, The Wire is not a show where you're gonna be given like some major cliffhanger event every episode.
Yeah,
it's a story. You have to watch the entire thing, so you do have to watch the whole season to appreciate it. So now I understand that and I really like it. But at the time, as a person that was trying to newly gain interest in a show that was made in 2001. So like, you gotta get past like the
old
film
shit.
Quality and like just the old schoolness, the cars, the clothes they were wearing.
Well,
like,
shout out,
past that.
Shout out to HBO Max for giving us updated versions of The Wire and Sopranos. You
yes.
can tell it's a little cleaner on
yes.
the app.
Oh yeah, it looks so much better.
Yeah.
I watch, honestly, HBO Max app is so wishy-washy.
It's shitty. You can't
that like I usually watch it on Amazon Prime, even though it's connected to my HBO Max. So I still like have access to it. But they're gonna have to wait until they update some stuff. I don't know. Like, it works good. And then all out of nowhere, it'll just crash. And it's just
fuck
like, well, what's going on? Like, I can't even watch one episode without you doing something stupid.
And that's
know.
Why I have box sets of all my favorite shows, because I will not be a slave to these streaming services.
Where do you even get a box set from? At
Amazon. Amazon, you can rack up on.
I don't even have a DVD player.
I got a Blu-ray player just because, but I got.
I don't even know where you can buy a DVD player. I guess on Amazon.
Get you? Well, I get the I got Blu-ray 4K. I make sure all my shit is 4K. I got Fresh Prince on box set, Martin, Thrones, Seinfeld, King of Queens, my favorite show.
Oh Lord, you really
I love the King of Queens.
You love a white sitcom. Too.
I do love the white sitcom. I do. Martin and Fresh Prince were the only black sitcom I probably like watch regularly. Like, that's really all I watched when I was a kid. I'm trying to think.
If
Jenny
you
Fox
have cable though, and like your defense on like all of the basic TV channels, the white sitcoms were on all day.
On all the
Friends,
time. Yeah.
Seinfeld, Frasier, like all of those shows were on all day. So yep. like you were gonna end up liking one of them.
And whatever my mom watched, my mom used to love Frasier and fucking Wings. A lot of niggas don't remember Wings. Like in the early 90s.
What was it?
Wings. It was like a show about like these pilots. They would come on like in the early 90s. It was on NBC. My mom used to love that shit. But
yeah, I definitely never heard of that.
It's a throwback joint. But
as far as I know, you made that up.
I gotta Google it.
I gotta Google it. I never even heard that.
Yes. Yeah. Wings. That's
what I'm gonna ask my mom if she remember that.
That was the shit, her and Frasier. But yeah, that's what I do. So I don't, you know, just in case they decide to take some off, because Seinfeld's not on Hulu right now. It's supposed to be on Netflix at the end of September, but
I really hate that too. That's really annoying to me, because I feel like, find a streaming home and stay there. Why do I have to chase you around? One minute it's on Netflix, then I got to go finish it on Hulu. And then in the middle of that, now it's on Amazon Prime. Like,
And meanwhile, Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David sleep well at night because they know they're still making money off this.
Yeah, they don't care where it is. No, I said, they don't care. They just like, they was like, oh, they're taking Friends off Netflix. I'm like, they don't care where it is. The cast, they rich.
Got $1 million per person for the reunion.
Yeah. I can't believe people were that interested. And this is coming from a person, I actually used to watch Friends, but like, I can't believe people were interested in watching a reunion. Like, this too far gone. I don't care about them folks. Like, the ones who are successful, we will see, and we'll have an update on their life because they'll be doing something.
Successful.
And the ones who decided to take their money and go live a life more behind the scenes, we will have figured that out because we haven't seen them on anything. I didn't really think we needed a reunion, to be honest.
And you can always tell who dressed the best. Like, have you seen the Fresh Prince reunion?
Oh, no, I didn't watch that, actually.
Will and Carlton still look like money. Yeah. All right. You can tell Will, of course, Will's got more money than we can count. No, Carlton got his TV shows. Carlton got his look. Carlton being that commercial with Chris Paul all the goddamn time. You can tell he's still getting paid.
Yeah, he do be in stuff like that, huh?
Ashley and all them, you can tell they ain't got no roles in a minute.
I mean, sometimes you get cast for something and like you were just perfect for that time in that show, but sometimes it just, you don't really fit no other role. It is what it is. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
You can try, of course. That, I mean, people do it all the time, but usually when you don't see your favorite character from a show in anything else, it's not because they haven't been trying. They just
ain't been getting booked,
haven't been making the final cut. Like,
pretty much.
It is what it is. Hey, well, this has been a great episode. I honestly,
real good episode.
I enjoyed chatting it up. It's always fun. And I look forward to us doing this again when we have, hopefully some of these things have happened, like football season will have started.
Yep.
So we will no longer be in anticipation of that. We'll be talking about
we'll be in it.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it, like inside of it. And then like we'll get closer to Spider-Man. I'm sure another trailer will come out at some point.
The streets are saying another trailer will be dropping in October.
Yeah, I thoroughly believe there will be another one. So I'm just waiting on that. And otherwise, it was a really good episode. And just want to wrap it up by reminding everybody to follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Network. And then also make sure that you do subscribe to the Patreon, which is patreon.com/barberschairnet. And follow my Instagram at catdallas with a Z. And then my Twitter, why can't I talk tonight?
I did the same thing.
My Twitter at catvision. And then also follow my lovely producer at barbchairscott on Instagram. And
I apologize for anything you might see on my timeline after September 12th. Do not take my tweets doing Bears game seriously. This is the time of the year where I got to throw that disclaimer out. Got to throw that out. I am not my tweets on Sundays.
He's those tweets. That's real. That's when the real person comes out.
I am not my tweets. And yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks, man. Y'all have a good time in this little break that we have. We out.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.